Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how familiar are you with the transitions of consciousness through history that have brought us to where we are today? How conscious are we, and what are we conscious of? And there actually is a story about that that has come through ages in Hindu literature and teachings that are amazing and so relevant to how we can understand ourselves. And to help us know these, I haven't been an expert about that. I'm still not, but at least I'm a bit more familiar than I had been. So I feel capable of talking with our guest, who is a real expert about the yugas. And so let's talk with a man who has been on Energy Stew a number of times before, Jason Gregory. Jason, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Yeah, it's great to be back on, Peter. It's always a pleasure to see you. Always, you're always happy and vibrant, so I love it.
Well, I do my best.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, the yugas. Most people have never heard of yugas.
No.
And they actually represent different periods of time, but not in a linear way so much as a meaning way, right?
Yeah.
Really understanding of consciousness.
Yes, they're more about, we could say, ages of consciousness, right? They're cycles of consciousness is what we're talking about when we talk about the yugas. And, right. You know, for the listeners, they you need to understand there's actually two systems of the yugas. So there's a long count system of the yugas, which is what Hindus would probably say is more of the traditional system, but then there's a more recent short count system, which has been around for a few hundred years, but some people believe it's been around longer, which became popular through a sage called Sri Yukteswar. And so Sri Yukteswar, he's still using the ancient framework of the traditional system, but he's explaining it especially in relation to historical events, which kind of makes sense when you look, especially when you look at around from around 10,000 BCE until now, it kind of makes sense. But also in saying that, the long count system can make sense too. It depends on who you're talking to. A lot of
We're talking about a very long count.
Long count, yeah. That long count is so long. It's so we have to think about a kalpa, and a kalpa is 4.32 billion years. So, and that's what they would call in Hinduism a day of Brahma. Now, Brahma being the creative principle of the universe, as opposed to Shiva and Vishnu, and Shiva being the destructive principle, Vishnu being the sustainer. And so a day of Brahma is 4.32 billion years, and a day and night of Brahma is 8.64 billion years. So, they kind of talk about, especially when they talk about 4.32 billion years, they're more so talking about the age of the Earth when they're talking about that long count system. So
okay, and so we are in a particular yuga as the Earth.
Yes.
And
yes.
And is that, if I'm thinking correctly, is that the Kali Yuga?
That's the Kali Yuga. Yes. Okay. It's we're in. It's a 432,000 year cycle. So that actually, that Kali Yuga is believed to have begun at 3102 BCE. That was the time of, I know that you're probably familiar with the Mahabharata, Peter, but and your listeners, is that that's the time of the Kurukshetra war in northern India. And so that's the kind of, like, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, for example, that's that war has been mythologized, right? Where Krishna is guiding Arjuna in the battlefield to,
right,
to
famous.
Follow his dharma. And so that story actually is when Krishna dies or leaves the world to the heavenly abode of Vaikuntha, that is what represents the beginning of the Kali Yuga. So it's believed, Hindu authorities believe that that began in 3102 BCE. There's a bit of a dispute there between some scholars in India and around that they say more probable is 1500 BCE. But I mean, if you look at the Puranas, the actual text that it came from, which was written down by the sage Vyasa, it's stating like around 3102 BCE was the time of the end of the Dwapara Yuga and the beginning of the Kali Yuga.
Okay, so, but the Kali Yuga also, since it's billions of years long in the long count, it really should represent the entire history of our planet, let alone just some thousands of years ago. So there's also a short count of yugas.
And to clarify, it's 432,000 years, the Kali Yuga. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, come on, it's still a long time, right? But it's not as long as Satya Yuga, which is the age of the spiritual age or the age of truth, which is it's around 1,728,000 years, I think, something along those lines. So if we look at that, sorry to interrupt you, but if you look at that, we are only a few according to the long count system, we're only a few thousand years into a 432,000 year cycle. So.
All right, now let's talk about what these yugas mean, because you know, we can give them names, but it means nothing by themselves, because there are four yugas. And the Kali Yuga, you've talked about two, I think, at this point, is the three, Satya Yuga, Dvapara Yuga, and the Kali Yuga, and there's also a Tetra Yuga.
Yeah.
But there's actually a sequence to them, because the Satya Yuga is the golden age that we come from. But we've deteriorated since then. And yes, we're not as good as that anymore.
No.
So the Satya Yuga is kind of where we want to return to, actually. We want to have this great golden age again. But it's really an ideal age. It's very hard, extremely hard to attain, because it's non-dual, it's not materialistic. So there are different gradations that we've lowered ourselves to, or that life has lowered itself to. And so after the Satya came the Tetra Yuga, which is only 3/4 of the power or the idealism of the Satya Yuga.
That's right, yeah.
And so that is where that's the start of materialism, the start of organized life, of empires, and where we're really have more desire and have to deal more with the forces of nature. And the forces of nature can be difficult. So the Tetra Yuga really introduces us to the complexities of the material world.
Yes. 100%. That's when actually the beginning of the dual state of consciousness begins to bear root in us, where we have this sense of duality. Like you said, from the Satya Yuga, which is, you know, the golden age, is you have a, you know, to use Hindu terminology, you are completely connected to Brahman, so the ultimate reality, you know, of existence. And like this, it's like that non-dual state of consciousness that, you know, we believe a sage or someone like the Buddha had, you know. So, but everyone was like that, you know. It wasn't.
And it's interesting, because you also teach about Taoism and the idealism that Taoism teaches, which I think can only really take place in a Satya Yuga environment.
Yeah, probably. But the thing is that as we go down through to the Treta Yuga, then you have the beginning, like you said, like you were mentioning, the beginning of particular weather patterns, the beginning of empires and so forth and so on. So then that contributes more to you know, a dualistic state of consciousness.
Right. And, well, we have to fight for our survival more than we did in an ideal state.
Exactly. And that's where we identify more as a individual, that beginning stage of that we have lost connection with nature, we've lost connection with each other, and we're beginning to flower as a, not flower, but I could almost say degrade as an individual, you know.
So here we are in this material nature of Earth, and then we have to lower ourselves even more into the Dvapara Yuga, which is still only half of Satya, of the Golden Age. It's not less than half, because you can get lower than that to the Kali Yuga. And so so we can also still aspire to Dvapara Yuga, because that has to do with still holding on to truthfulness and compassion, and can hold more of the knowledge of Brahman still. And so there's hope there.
Well, again, the whole, I mentioned Vyasa before, the whole reason they believe, Hindus believe, that someone like Vyasa comes about at the end of every Dvapara Yuga is because he still has a connection to the Satya Yuga. He's still, you know, an enlightened sage.
The teacher who comes along during Dvapara Yuga can be an avatar, right?
An avatar, yes, exactly. And so his role is to leave behind texts that will help us, you know, have a sense of spirituality and a sense of remembering Brahman in the Kali Yuga. So, yes. So you mentioned avatars, and there's like being, you know, if we look at Vaishnavism, so the worship of Shiva in Hinduism, there's been 9 avatars before, and they believe that the 10th avatar of Kalki will come along at the end of the Kali Yuga, if we accept the long count system, that is. So, obviously, in the short count system, we're not in the Kali Yuga.
Right, but that's also appreciating the leadership of, you know, of a guru type person.
Exactly.
And, you know, many of us question authority nowadays. So it's very hard for an avatar to show up and say, sure, we believe you.
Well, according to them, Kalki won't turn up until towards the end of the 432,000 year cycle. So it's not going to be any time soon.
Okay.
But if we, you raise a good point, Peter, because, you know, a part of, especially Eastern spirituality, a part of the maturity is deference, right? Is kind of giving your power away in some sense to someone not more knowledgeable than you to guide your path.
Well, it's humility.
It's humility.
There are people who are wiser. But we have to learn who to trust.
Well, that's true too. But you have to also allow that to happen too. Right? Like, you have to allow the trust, you know, obviously. Yeah,
but a lot of gurus have been disappointing.
Well, that is true too. That is true. Yeah. But in saying that, there's been a highlight on the minority of gurus who have been promiscuous and so forth and so on. When you go to India, there's a bunch of gurus who you've never heard of, you know, on a local level. And like, for example, when you live in India, you might go to a small community, and in that small community, they have a guru. So it's kind of, I mean, we wouldn't think of it because we see like the gurus on YouTube and so forth and so on, but there's actually like local, you know, communal gurus who the community, you know, respect and so forth and so on. And I agree with you, you have to be wary of who you trust, particularly in this age, because there's so many charlatans. But that's come along through turning spirituality into commodity, right? So you have to be very careful. And I'd say, like, from myself, from living in India, go into the Himalayas or somewhere like that and find a guru who doesn't have many followers around them. You know,
the Himalayas.
Yeah. Go there and go to the ones that don't have that many people around them, and it's a very different transmission of the knowledge. It's not like on a widespread scale. You know, like it's not like one guy standing on the podium.
So these might be enlightened people, and they each have a different understanding of enlightenment.
Yeah, of course, of course. And but they just don't have a microphone, right? They're not they're not like you and I. They don't have a microphone, and they're just they're not that well known. But in saying that, they're still, you know, what I would say for Westerners is that you still need to have that bit of humility. You know what I mean? Like, even if the teacher, say if you find out the teacher is an idiot or just a charlatan, just move away. Just, you know, you
right.
Sometimes we fall for certain traps. I've fallen for those traps in the past, too, you know. Sure. But in standing, in talking about that avatar lineage, like of Vishnu, you know, a lot of people probably don't know, but Hindus believe the last three avatars were Buddha, Krishna, Rama. So most people are probably familiar with those three. I mean, Hindus kind of claim Buddha, but Buddhists probably would disagree with that. But, you know, that's the knowledge. You know, so.
In my last lifetime, I was in India,
yeah,
and I was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna.
Sri Ramakrishna, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You were living in Calcutta.
My name was Kamal Gangali in that life.
Kamal Gangali?
Yeah, that was
Have you searched
I found that out. First, I was told that by an Indian guru.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that in me. And then I did a hypnotic regression back in between lifetime, actually back to my last lifetime, and I got to see myself in that life. And I was a good-looking guy. It was nice. But, I mean, there are stories about that are fascinating to me.
Yes.
And I really enjoy that I had that opportunity to learn that about myself. And yes. So I appreciate that we can appreciate people of wisdom and authenticity, and that's great.
Of course, yeah, of course. Yeah. Keep a discerning eye, but, like, also... You know, like a lot of people, again, like in the modern world, will superimpose their troubles with politicians or any other sort of authority figure onto gurus, right? So we see this a lot, especially in the West. So everyone's skeptical of everyone in the West.
That's
you know what I mean? Like it can be to our detriment, too. You know.
Sure, no, I think it is. So. Well, but in the West, there are so many people we need to be skeptical of, and as a matter of fact, understand that they are not in our favor.
No, well, that's true. That's true. But like I said, like they usually are the politicians and the leaders right. And the ones who are
corporate leaders.
Corporate leaders, and I would say that of course you should be skeptical of them. You know, so.
Right. So let's look at the Dvapara Yuga is half of Satya, half of idealism. And then we come down to Kali Yuga, which is only a quarter of Satya. And so that's where materialism gets out of hand, or can get out of hand. Yeah. And it's kind of where we're at, I think, in this world where as you say, and there's a... It's actually a wonderful recording that you did about this. And in that you say that, you know, in Kali Yuga, we become entangled with the external world. And that's where we find hedonism and egotism. And we get really caught up in holding matter as everything, having fear of death, having experiencing our spirituality. And because of that, we give too much power to technology. And you even talk about transhumanism, where we could be overtaken by artificial intelligence.
Well, that's it. That would be one of the, I guess, that would be the grossest form of materialism in the Kali Yuga, right? It would be because our mind is so entangled with materialism, with our identification and with everything else, what would be the height of the grossest form of that would be, well, I want to become something else that is immortal, immortal, maybe immortal, you know, it depends on when the universe evaporates and all those robots will too. But that is kind of the height of, I would say, of our materialistic leanings, right? Like, I want to live forever. I don't want to experience death.
But it experiences the mind in our brains as everything, not our consciousness as everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference. Because if we know that consciousness is everything and never dies, our bodies can die, but our
consciousness can't die. Yeah,
right.
Never dies. But right. But Peter, not many people have your your insight. You know, that's why they are leaning into transhumanism and artificial intelligence. And it's not that it's just appealing according to the Kali Yuga. It's that fear of death and that the material world is the only thing which is driving a lot of those, a lot of that curiosity.
Right. And so that's a Kali Yuga. But now, apparently, the Dvapara Yuga is ascending. So there's hope.
There's hope, yes. Well, that's the short count system. Yeah, that's Sri Yukteswar system. So according to the short count system, which is based on a 24,000-year cycle of a binary star system, so the belief that there's two stars, like our sun and a dual sun, and they're in this binary star system. Obviously, because it's so vast, according to Sri Yukteswar, that you probably wouldn't see the other sun because the systems are so huge, you know what I mean? So,
well, we don't know the reality of it other than it's an interesting philosophy.
Exactly. That's a good point. And so when you look at that, and also he links this with the zodiac as well. So where you have the beginning of the Kali Yuga and the short count system was 500 CE, and the end of it was 1700 CE.
Okay.
And so, and when he looks, when he, why, he, well, let's say he picked those dates, all right? Why he focused on those dates was because the vernal equinox of Aries was in a particular position, and likewise at the end of at the 1700, it was in a particular the vernal equinox. Libra was in a particular position.
But interestingly enough, that also corresponds to the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, it does. Yes, exactly. And that was why actually around 2012 there was a few, maybe about four or five documentaries about the relationship between the Yugas and the Mayan calendar. So, which was very interesting. And actually, even John Major Jenkins, who was a great scholar about the Mayan calendar, he spoke a lot about the relationship between the Yukteswar version of the Yugas and the Mayan calendar. So, yeah, it does tie in. So sorry, Peter. But when you look at that was the Kali Yuga. So 500, specifically 499 CE to 1699 CE. So
well, it was a few hundred years ago.
Exactly. So now we are in, according to Sri Yukteswar, we're in the ascending cycle of the Dvapara Yuga. So,
and that's wonderful. So it's ascending to becoming a closer consciousness to Satya, which is the golden age. So we are reaching up rather than falling down. And that's what I think is really important, because we're getting near the end of the show. And it's really important for people to understand that we are coming into a new age of enlightenment, really, that we haven't been in a long time. And so we need to, that gives us hope for the future. And we don't know how long it's gonna take for the foothold to be strong enough, but we hope soon.
One of the hallmarks of the Dvapara Yuga is the understanding that we come to the understanding that everything is energy and everything is consciousness. And so we start to step away from everything is matter, you know, we are bound by materialism. That's the hallmark of Dwapara Yuga. And that understanding only gets deeper and deeper as we move into Treta Yuga.
And that's what the Mayans have said. We're in a period now going into what they call night, which is inner space, rather than outer space, which is superficial stuff.
Yes. So we could talk about it forever.
Yes, I know. I love talking with you. So, and there is a documentary you made about this. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, it's called The Yugas, The Great Time Cycles of the Universe. So you can find that for free on YouTube. It's on there, or you can go to my website, jasongregory.org. But yeah, basically all of my work's for free on YouTube. So yeah, and it's not that long a documentary too. It's about 35 minutes. So.
And there's also a new book that I'm hoping to interview you about soon called
Emotional Intuition for Performance.
Intuition, right. Yeah. And I'm excited about that. I can't wait to get into it. And talk with you about it. Emotional intuition. And Jason Gregory so they can go to YouTube and put your name in.
Yep, type it in and you'll find my YouTube channels will probably be the first thing to come up. And then, I've got everything organized on my YouTube channel so they can find the documentary easy. Or just type in the Yugas and my name and it'll come up.
Okay. And there's a website.
JasonGregory.org. My name. Simple.
Great. Jason, it's so wonderful to talk with you. And I think this is very helpful for all of us is to understand that there are all these systems out there that are giving us hope for a better world.
Exactly. and we can live in that better world too, you know, if we understand these systems and begin to understand ourselves as well.
Right. It's really appreciating the consciousness that we're in more and more.
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful.
Definitely.
So thanks so much for being on Energy Stew, Jason.
Yeah, a pleasure. Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.